Welcome to War Room, the official podcast of the U.S. Army War College online journal, graciously supported by the Army War College Foundation. Please join the conversation at warroom.armywarcollege.edu. We hope you enjoy the program.
Greetings and thanks for joining us today on A Better Peace, the War Room podcast. I'm Jacqueline Witt, Professor of Strategy and the War Room podcast editor here at the Army War College. Across the military services, there's a lot of talk about the profession of arms. Profession is even embedded in the name of what we do here at the Army War College, as part of professional military education. And now, nearly two decades into the 21st century, and after a generation spent at war, perhaps this is a particularly important moment to ask questions and to think carefully about the meaning and consequences of the military profession. So today, I've invited Lieutenant Colonel Ty Mayfield, who is an officer in the United States Air Force, a recent graduate of the U.S. Army War College, and a founding member and editor at the Strategy Bridge, to join me in the studio to talk about the profession and the future of it. Thanks for joining me today at the War Room, Ty.
Thanks. It's my pleasure to be here.
Okay, so to start out, let's talk about some definitions. I should say to our listeners, Ty, along with the Army officer Nate Finney, has edited a book that will be coming out in October called Redefining the Modern Military, The Intersection of Profession and Ethics. So to start off this conversation, I'd like to hear your thoughts about what it means to be a profession and how that relates to the military in particular.
Right. So when we think about professions, we often think about historical professions like lawyers or doctors, right? And think the presentation of the military is a relatively new addition to this concept of professionalism. So what professions do is, you know, they provide a vital service to society, which it can't provide it for itself. They work within their specific jurisdiction to apply their expert knowledge. They earn and maintain the trust of their clients, so that relationship is very important. And based on that trust at the game of the client, they're granted autonomy to practice their trade, right, or their profession. And so those are kind of the core tenets of a profession, and we feel like this is the right time, coming out of an enduring conflict or maybe continuing an enduring conflict, right, that a point of reflection is required. And it's a time for us to look back at these kind of tenets of a profession and ask ourselves, you know, are we meeting them? Looking for places where they can be improved and strengthened, and making sure that we as the U.S. military are maintaining that trust with our client, the Constitution of the United States and its citizens. That's in a very American perspective, but larger, so what Western militaries can do to maintain that trust.
So if you think about the definition that you just gave and the sort of tenets of a profession and understanding the military as a profession, do you think today's current generation of commissioned officers and maybe NCOs and senior NCOs in particular have a good sense of what the military profession is and means?
So I think they do. And I think that there are some points at which, you know, that idea, that sense of identity and professionalism is, I won't say divergent, but perhaps a little different than it has been in the past. And that's kind of what we want this book to start, is the conversation with this current generation of military officers. You know, the half-life of a military officer's career is pretty short in the context of history, right? And so these ideas need to be refreshed. The knowledge needs to be rebuilt, and the discussion needs to continue, because maintaining a profession is something that is not done once and then complete, right? It's a continual process.
It's developmental, and it's going to happen over time and over a career. Do you think professionalism or the sense of professionalism changes over the course of an officer's career?
Oh, absolutely, right? I think the reason that we join the military is different than the reason that we stay, right? And so I think we all come to service for a different reason, and that reason changes over time. And it certainly has for me, right? And as you go along, your idea of who you are and what it means to be in the military and a professional changes. And you get to that point now, and I think this is something that Dr. Don Snyder has outlined, is you become a steward of the profession, right? And so there's this idea that it's not complete and that it must be nurtured and maintained. And I think that the contributors to this book, many of them are at or entering that stewardship phase, right? Where they want to seek to develop subordinates, and to build on the expert knowledge that we have. And I think that's what's really unique about this, is this new generation of officers and academics and practitioners who are beginning to have their own conversation about what it means to be a professional and what the military profession means.
Great. So we've talked a bit about the idea of profession. Can we explore the second sort of big word in this title, which is about ethics? What do you think is the connection, and why is that an important concept?
So I think ethics is a really important concept for us to consider as it relates to the profession. I mean, it guides how we do what we do, right? And it's also, in my opinion, something that's underrepresented in our professional military education. And I wrote about this in the conclusion to the series online when this series first ran, is that these chapters on ethics in particular really brought to my attention how little ethical training I had received as an officer. And so I think that they're important to have in here for that very reason, right? It's something that time-wise is not afforded as much attention as perhaps it should, right? And so we have laws and regulations and disciplinary action, but that's all reactive to issues. And so I think the role of ethics is really important in guiding future actions, right?
Sure.
And so that, I think, is the key piece that I would like people to take away from the chapters on ethics, is to really think about, you know, think about the positions and challenges and difficulties that you may face as a military professional before you're in them, right? And so that exercise and getting those repetitions of thought in, I think, are really important in setting you up for professional success further down the road.
It strikes me, too, that when we think about professions broadly, and you mentioned, right, medicine and law, the clergy is also, you know, often considered in that realm, too. When ethical lapses among professionals occur, it creates a real breach of trust, which you also talked about, right? You think about lapses, and again, in medical ethics, you think about all of the lawyer jokes, which are about ethical lapses in many cases, you know, sexual abuse among clergy. Like, these are things that cause crisis,
right,
in professions. And I think we can see a relationship there too, that if the military is entrusted with their expertise and the management of violence or the execution of the arm of the state, then ethical lapses are going to be particularly problematic.
They are
for them as well.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And so the challenge is that those ethical lapses, you know, are viewed by the client in a very, you know, negative way, rightfully so. And they damage that trust between the client and the professional. And that trust is, you know, is the bedrock of the profession, and it's what professional autonomy rests on. And without that trust, you begin to lose autonomy. The client places sanctions on the professional, right? You know, and you, there's a number of examples that we could talk through that would show you that is happening in some ways today. And I think that raises, you know, questions about the status of the profession. But more importantly, I think it raises the issue to us, and it's our job now to recognize that those questions are being asked, and to begin to work on rebuilding that trust and to self-regulate, right? So this is the core of the profession, is our ability to self-regulate and maintain a level of discipline within our profession, you know, that engenders trust and not doubt in our client.
All right, so thanks for talking with me about sort of profession and ethics. Let's talk more specifically about the book itself and about how you sort of came to do that.
Yeah, sure. So I'm one of the editors. Nate Finney, who's an officer in the United States Army, is the other editor. So we put together this collection of essays, which started as a series we ran on the Strategy Bridge on Profession and Ethics in 2015. And so the series received a lot of really good feedback. It was well received by our community. And Nate and I then had a conversation and decided that this was something that could be expanded into a book. So we went back to the contributors and asked them to expand on their essays. We picked out 10 or 12 that we thought worked well, that covered a wide spectrum of perspectives and positions on the issues. And then we spent the next 3 years working through the editorial process, the publication process, and here we are today.
Yeah, it takes a long time from conception to
it is like
seeing it.
It takes a really long time.
Good. So the book will be out in October, and the title, I think I've got it right, is Redefining the Modern Military, the Intersection of Profession and Ethics.
That's correct, yes.
Is that right? So can you tell us a little bit more about the content of the book? What will we find if we pick this up?
Right. So anyone who's read Samuel Huntington's work or Hackett's work or Janowitz or even Dr. Don Snyder's work here at the Army War College, you're going to see things that are familiar to you, right? So we kind of use those as baseline ideas, and then we try and look forward a little bit to how current military officers and academics and people working in and around the profession see the profession in its current state today. And that's really what this book sets out to do, is get a snapshot of where we are today and try to look forward and forecast a little bit about where we're going and the course corrections that we might need to get there.
Okay, so why do you think this was an important book or an important collection of essays now? Why was this sort of moment the right moment for this?
So I think there's a generation of officers, and I'll count myself in this generation, who were commissioned in the late 90s, right, through the early 2000s. And we've been in a perpetual state of conflict, right, for the duration of our careers. And episodically, militaries, professional militaries, go back and look at themselves and evaluate themselves. And history shows us this, right? It happens after major conflicts, happened after the First World War and the Second World War. Huntington's book comes out after Korea. And so after Vietnam, we have Westmoreland's study, right? And you have Dr. Don Snyder's work, which was done in the early 2000s. And there's a new generation of officers who lived through what he produced in the early 2000s and have our own set of experiences now. And we think that the time is right to begin again this conversation of self-reflection and thought about where the profession is and where it's going.
Great. So who are the authors who contributed to this volume, just generically, not...
Right. So we have a wide range of authors. There are 12 chapters total. Six of them are written by PhDs. We have active duty Army officers. We have chapters, or active duty military officers, I should say. We have chapters presented by representatives from the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force, the departments of. Academics, so there are folks in both civilian university institutions and military PME institutions. I think our two chapters on ethics really kind of pull that piece out, right? So Dr. Rebecca Johnson at the U.S. Marine Corps War College and Dr. Pauline Shanks Corinne, who's heading to the Naval War College, wrote our two chapters on ethics. And we have a professor from the U.K. and one from Sweden as well. Two lawyers authored chapters. One of them is from Australia and one from the United States. So we kind of cover a wide range of officers, both U.S. and international, and academics as well, which we thought was really important because while this book is largely about the American military, we tried to write it about so it could be extrapolated to a wider audience, right? So we could talk about Western professional militaries.
Sure. When you thought about constituting the book and how it was put together, were there certain questions that you asked your authors to consider, or are there certain sort of themes that run throughout?
Because this started from a series that we ran on the bridge, the prompt for that series was profession and ethics, right? So we wanted contributors to talk about those two things and how they relate to the status of the current military profession. And so we pulled from those essays, and we wanted to make sure that we had some that looked historically, right, that talked us through this series, the progression of the profession, if you will, from Huntington all the way through Dr. Snyder's work. And then also we wanted individuals to talk to us about the role of ethics in the profession, which I think is really one of the things that's under-instructed, if you will, or underrepresented in our professional military education system. So we wanted to be sure to include that. But we also wanted to make sure that we had the different services represented. The Army has done a lot of work on the profession, probably exceeding the work of the other services. And so we wanted to make sure that we had something that was broad enough and that maybe rose above service hierarchies, right, or service interests.
Parochialism
and talked more broadly about where the military as a profession was itself.
One of the things that struck me when I was sort of reading through the book and that struck me as I've been talking to you is how important it is that active duty and serving military officers contributed to the volume, not only because they are in the profession, but also the idea that writing and publication and entering a conversation is an important part of professional development and itself a part of professional maybe expectations. Can you talk a little bit more about your sort of thoughts on that and how you'd like to see writing emerge as part of the professional ethos?
Right. So, the development of and maintenance of expert knowledge is one of the core tenets of being a professional, right, or in a profession, something that professions must do. And so, that's one of the kind of the goals of the Strategy Bridge and why we founded that, right, was to provide a venue and a forum for officers, academics, practitioners to have that conversation, to talk about their profession, how they view the world, how they view their profession, and their actions kind of in that realm. And I think this book is a natural kind of outcome of that, right? And so it's really interesting that this conversation started on social media, literally, on Twitter. It moved to an online journal, and now it has produced a book. And so I think that progression is really important. And it presents these officers and this conversation and the academics and other contributors as participating in the development of their own mm-hmm. profession, which I think is really central to it. I mean, writing is hard. It's difficult.
It's work.
It's laborious. And getting through this process was really rewarding. And it was really encouraging for me, even as an editor and as a member of the profession, to see this work being done and this level of interest from within the community.
Yeah, this point about sort of the development of professional conversations, like you said, over Twitter and social media to online venues to sort of more enduring ones that are going to, right, the book is going to maybe be on bookshelves and last for maybe longer than electrons.
Right.
It's always interesting to me to see how these conversations develop. I'm constantly both amazed and appalled and surprised and interested in how conversations develop over Twitter. When you think about military professionals contributing to these conversations, what do you think those different venues sort of offer to them?
Yeah, so this is interesting. This kind of segues directly into these sessions that the Strategy Bridge is sponsoring, both in Carlisle here in Washington, D.C., in Sydney and Melbourne as well. And those are forums for people to come together and interact in a non-attributional environment, right, in an unofficial environment as well. I think you can maybe trace some of this back to like the loss of our officer clubs and our NCO clubs, you know, where we had these spaces in which we could go and have these conversations. And I think in some ways those provided semi-private venues to have this conversation, but I think more importantly, they provided access to mentors, to senior officers, to peers. And I think social media is kind of filling that void mm-hmm. now. And so you're seeing some general officers very active on social media. I interact with a number of them. And there are also kind of these company-grade officers who are coming up on social media. And there are some really important questions being asked. And I find Twitter useful in that way, in that you can begin a conversation directly, and then you can take it to a private direct message channel if you needed something, right? Or even to a phone call. And so I think that's very unique. And that transition happens often, and then a lot of those conversations end up in online journals. You know, the Strategy Bridge is one, War on the Rocks is out there, the War Room is there. Small Wars Journal is an enduring, you know, it's kind of the legacy, the grandfather of them
it's
all.
It's funny to
right?
think about how long that has been.
Yeah, it's been around
going on.
Yeah, exactly. It's been on a very long time. And so I think those have provided new spaces to have these conversations. And I think it's really important.
Yeah, and they're sort of flat, like you said, they're sort of flat spaces. So you have general officers, company grade officers, you've got NCOs, you've got enlisted personnel, you've got academics, people who are only tangentially related or interested in these questions, who are following each other and looking at what each other are doing, and then sort of publishing. And like you said, the venues for online publishing are interesting too, and there's been a proliferation of them in some sense. So lots more places for people to write if they want. And I think all of them offer something a little bit different, right? So War on the Rocks is different from Strategy Bridge, is different from War Room, and they're going to have different audiences, different purposes. And I think in my mind, I'm glad that the space is sort of opening up, and that there are options for people to get good ideas, provocative ideas, interesting ideas out there.
I think this book is important. It shows too, though, that this generation of people having the conversation, right, are capable of doing more than just having an online conversation, right? And so I think that this edited book then, you know, represents the spectrum of, you know, we started literally with a tweet and worked its way through, and now it's long form in its truest sense, right? We produced and edited.
Yeah, and in the sense that, right, books are enduring, they go through, and this is published with an independent press, you know, so the editing process, the writing process for that is different. You know, 5,000 words is what you can do in 5,000 words is not the same as what you can do in 1,500.
Right.
So you've got endnotes with each chapter and things like that.
Yeah.
So how would you imagine the book or online publications or things like that being useful to the profession, broadly speaking?
Right. So when we here at the War College, I took Don Snyder's class on the profession, right? And
it's like literally a master class.
It's literally a master class. And you sit down with, you know, the book that he put together, The Future of the Army Profession. And that's kind of the base document that you begin to work through, right? And when you come to that book without having given a lot of previous thought to the profession and what it means to be a professional and your place and role in it, it can be difficult to get through. It's very academic work, and it's also very much focused on the Army. It is the future of the Army profession, right? So we wanted this book to be a little bit broader, to look at the military as a whole, and then we see a place for it in commissioning sources, in ROTC classes, you know, in Command and General Staff College, ILE, and in senior service colleges as well, in SDE. So we think that this book, because of the kind of the wide array of people who contributed, both academics and active duty officers and civil servants, that there's kind of something here for everyone. And it's kind of a bridging document, if you will, right? It's something that you can read and begin to have a conversation. And especially if you look at yourself as a steward of the profession, this book will be a useful tool for you to sit down with your subordinates with when you're doing counseling, developmental education, you know, professional development with your subordinates. And that's kind of the core of this cycle of professionalism, right? Is the stewardship piece, is the regeneration of knowledge and development of subordinates. And we think that this book is going to play a role in that, both in PME and in civil universities as well.
All right. So Ty, thanks so much for joining me today to talk about the profession, about the ethic of the profession, and about the book that you have coming out. Again, that's Redefining the Modern Military, the Intersection of Profession and Ethics, and that's out with the United States Naval Institute Press in October of 2018. So we'll use this time to wrap up, as we've also talked about the importance of reading and writing and entering the professional conversation, to plug our respective venues for that. So Ty?
Yeah, so just want to, first of all, thank the whole team at the Strategy Bridge for providing the time and space for me and Nate to work on this project, and encourage all of you out there who have ideas and are thinking about your place and role in the profession and what it is you do on a day-to-day basis to consider writing for the journal, any journal, and getting that first article out there is really important. We at the Strategy Bridge have a great team of editors that walk people through this constantly, and we love seeing first-time contributors come in and then turn into repeat writers and then become featured contributors on our journal.
Great. And so as a member of the editorial team at War Room, I will say the same thing. We occupy a different space from Strategy Bridge, but we are interested in hearing what you have to say. Send it to us. You can find us at warroom.armywarcollege.edu. And with that, we will sign off here from Carlisle Barracks.
And that concludes our program. Thank you for listening. The views expressed in this podcast reflect those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views, policies, or positions of the U.S. Army or the Department of Defense. Let us know what you think. Provide us your feedback, comments, or suggestions through our webpage at warroom.armywarcollege.edu. And have a great day.